Good morning, Norman.
Yeah, good morning, Phil.
Thanks very much for joining me. So to begin, what exactly has been happening to our mangroves?
Well, it's quite depressing. A large area, we're talking about 7,400 hectares, as we've measured it to date, died in about 1 or 2 months at the end of 2015. And, you know, we're talking about more than 20 million trees just sort of died. And at that time, we didn't know what caused it. And, you know, meaning it wasn't something like an oil spill or a tropical cyclone, as we're obviously experiencing up north now. So it was particularly challenging that this severe dieback occurred, you know, along 1,000 kilometres of coastline. And at the first stages, it was unknown what was causing it. So that's why we're worried.
Right. It does seem unthinkable that so many mangroves could die off all at once. And as you said, the damage seems to be very extensive. Have they gotten any further in trying to understand what's been happening, or are they still at a loss?
Well, we've written up some of the observations that have been made over, you know, the month and year or so since, and that paper has just been released in the CSIRO Journal Marine and Freshwater Research. Those results describe not only the event and the conditions I just referred to, but it also provides some sort of ideas, at least about the cause, and we think that it was related to moisture stress. In other words, you could think of the severe drought that was going on up to that time, and the extreme high temperatures, and believe it or not, there was a drop in sea level of 20 centimetres for over a month. So the tidal flooding that would normally occur into these areas did not occur in the higher parts of the where the mangroves occur. So we think that, you know, this is the reasonable evidence of moisture stress was the main driver of change here.
If you've just tuned into The Daily, we are speaking with Dr. Norman Duke from James Cook University about a massive dieback of Australia's mangroves, which we've seen along the coast of Australia. That seems to be an issue. Water stress seems like there are quite a few different factors. Now, we've seen issues which are almost parallel happening with the coral reef. And I suppose squishy and wet mangroves perhaps aren't as appealing as a lovely barrier reef is. But what impacts might the mangroves, changes to the mangroves, have on the wider ecosystem that we should know about?
Yeah, well, those two aspects of what you're asking there, and one is that it's no coincidence, that these events were occurring at the same time, because the moisture stress and the sea level drop, the temporary albeit, occurred because of the El Nino, and the particularly severe El Nino that occurred at the, in 2015, 2016 sort of summer period. There's no surprise there. The consequences are that we're likely to get severe impacts on local livelihoods with fisheries, whether it be mud crabs or barramundi or prawns. There's likely to be an impact. But so far, we're lucky we haven't seen any impact on those resources at this stage. But what we'd like to do is to support people locally to make observations and have a way to contribute to a national database so that, this information can be properly assessed and evaluated.
Yeah, right. With something like this, obviously we've lost a huge amount of mangroves. What potential is there for these mangroves to recover?
Yeah, well, we can look back on the old satellite imagery and aerial imagery that's available, and can see that it's happened in the past, at least on one occasion at this kind of level of severity. And as you might expect from what I said before about the El Nino severity, that was also a very severe El Nino effect back in 1982-83, when we can see that the shoreline was retreated at that time also. But what is clear from the succeeding imagery is that there can be recovery. What I'm worried about, and what other researchers are worried about, is that we're getting very severe tropical cyclones. And if you're talking about little seedlings trying to regrow on an exposed shoreline, as much as the Gulf mangroves are, they're going to have a lot of difficulty. And, you know, the more the erosion and so forth, and the rain and the flooding that will come in these events, these very severe events, well, just like what Debbie's dishing out or has done, you know, in the last day on the East Coast, there's also been cyclone effects in the Gulf as well. So we're worried about the erosion. We're worried about the, the strong winds, the flooding, you know, washing away sediments and changing the coastline while these vegetations have been damaged and are unable to shore up and protect that shoreline.
Yeah, right. So it sounds like they would be able to recover, but currently we're not in the environmental position to let them recover. This is obviously a devastating issue, and it seems to have happened quite rapidly and almost unexpectedly. We've seen a similar thing happening with the Barrier Reef. In light of those, should we be worried about any similar events that might happen to other ecosystems around Australia?
Well, that's a really good point, because up till now, or at least just recently, we didn't think that mangroves were going to be were so sensitive to the sort of changes that are coming, and you know what they were hearing about with the coral bleaching and that sort of thing. So it identifies the idea that now we should be looking a little further, not just at the mangroves, but maybe we should be looking at, you know, algae and seagrass and other kinds of habitats that occupy these shorelines, and that these places are extremely valuable. We need to be aware of how much value we get from these places. Excuse me. I'll let you talk.
We can avoid anything like this in the future. Well, it's always an pertinent reminder of just how fragile all of the ecosystems are and how something needs to be done to try and protect all of them. Norman, thanks so much for joining me this morning to give some information about what's been going on.
Yeah, you're most welcome, Phil. And